comes to much times, when it comes to working out our Christian faith, we go with what we've sort of been, what's been put into our lives, our understanding of certain things, particularly in regards to the life of the church. Most of us will go according to what we've heard somewhere, what we've seen, what we've experienced, what maybe our heritage, our family have spoken into our lives, and we consider that's the picture. But in actual fact, when it comes to being the church,
about the kingdom of God. This is about the body of Christ being the spiritually dynamic body of Christ. Okay? So that was our first one. I leave you with that one, and I hope it sort of rings inside of you. Your relationship with Jesus, we're invited. Marlene beautifully extends that invitation for those who love the Lord. You're welcome to share this celebration. You're also welcome to share the venture. Share the journey. Share the challenge of being part of the fire. Is that too unsettling? Because the Lord doesn't want us coming along here and just remembering. You realize that, don't you? He's not on about just remembering. Because in the remembering comes the realization. I'm actually a part of a spiritual relationship that is dynamic. It's firing. It's inspiring. It's compelling. Then I can actually tell, I can actually go away from this building and know that I have met the living Christ. Catch that? Good. You can go now if you like. But I've got the other 11 messages to remind you of. Okay. When it comes to this continuity, and Paul was already conscious of this when he writes in Ephesians 2 about the continuity. The continuity from one generation to the next generation and from one culture to another culture. Do you know something about fire? It doesn't necessarily respect those types of boundaries. But in our primitive culture, what was the one thing when they discovered what fire was? What did they do? They kept it alight so that it could be carried into the next generation, into the next day. So Paul reminded these people that the reality of your relationship with Jesus spiritually is what will carry through to the next generation. You might have a particular way of living that relationship out. I'm not looking to transfer the expression. I'm looking to give evidence of the experience. I know the risen Lord Jesus, and I am trusting and believing, Margie and I together, that our three sons have picked that up. And the exciting thing is that all three of them came to Christ totally outside our ministry in the churches where we were. I said, Lord, you're just so gracious. They get to walk their own. And in actual fact, my eldest son has now got to the place where he feels quite entitled to give me guidelines about how to do ministry. And I figure that's pretty exciting. I anticipate my other two sons, our other two sons, will do something similar. They will speak into our lives because the Lord is Lord of their lives. And they have that relational connection that provides an avenue. So anyway, Paul talks about that in Ephesians 2, of this transfer from one generation to the next. It is the spiritual fire that is transferred, not the practice as such. Okay with that one? Is that very clear? It needs to be. I don't know if you can remember this one. We had a little bit of engagement with the C and the M. Took us a little while to work out which one was the M and which one was the C. But we discover, every Jesus follower discovers that some things about our relationship that are just so clear, you just can't avoid them. Because they're the ones that actually inspire us to be obedient, to be responsive, to exercise our faith. And then there'll be other things that aren't so clear, that are a bit of a mystery. And I hope every time you take the Lord's Supper, there's clarity and there's mystery. I can't fully comprehend. As much as I engage with this simple celebration, I say, some of it's just really clear. Some of it just draws me in to the depth of not being able to comprehend fully the love of God in Christ. That's what the scripture says. If I reckon it's good for the Apostle Paul, I'm happy to say I can't comprehend it. But I'm happy to be drawn into it with increasing comprehension, but never anticipating that until graduation day, I'm not going to comprehend it at all in the fullness thereof. So that's a reality. You know, even when a person's beginning their journey with Jesus, they might say, there's some things I don't understand. I say, well, write down your name here, right next to mine if you like, because there's a lot of things I don't understand. But the bits that I do, I'm quite happy to help and walk with you, talk with you, and maybe open up a little bit for you that you can understand. Yeah? Anyway, so that's where we got to with that one. The next one was the area where, and appreciating when Paul's writing, it's not necessarily a straight line of thought. But he's going, I believe, to significant aspects of being the emerging church, of being, you know, that fire that's alive in every generation. And so on this particular occasion, I don't know if you can remember it, but whoops, I better not get to the garage yet. The area of leadership within the Christian community, because that was becoming more and more of a feature, more and more of a component part of these communities, is leadership, that is to be provided. Now, many of us would be familiar with certain ways in which we approach leadership within the Christian community. Okay, I would say the generation that's well reflected in this congregation would be familiar with elders, deacons. And you possibly Timothy and to Titus about the qualifications for elders and deacons. And we've gone with it. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, you can look for those qualities in those people. But here's what I want you to look for in your leadership. I want you to look for gifting, spiritual capacities that are not human. They're not of human origin. They are the grace of God enabling a person who will have a gift in the area, and I move through it fairly quickly, and I'm doing it again this morning. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And there are some weeks when I sort of think, why did I need to read that book? Because I do a little bit of reading, just sort of keep myself engaging different authors and those types of things. And this bloke whose book I'm reading, Church of Christ Fellow in England, was writing along the lines of, we get really good in our churches of Christ, get really good on the pastors and teachers. And we have reference to the evangelist because, as we were reminded this morning, in Zimbabwe, you know, the evangelist going out there as the pointy bit type of thing, we get excited about that because our church grows. Our church, not our church, it's his church. Who said it was my church? His church. He wants his church to go, so he puts gifted people in that context. An evangelist amongst them. Then we bring along the pastors and the teachers in order to maintain that group that's already established. And then along comes the prophet and says, we haven't finished yet. Oh, quiet. I'm not too sure what I was about to say, but I'm glad quiet came out. You know, and that's how we've responded to what's called the prophetic, the bold, that says we're nowhere near covering the territory the Lord wants us to cover. We can't sit back. There is an urgency for this fire to keep spreading, this spiritual fire to keep spreading. And if you've got an inclination to sit, you've got to watch so that fire doesn't diminish. And the only way that it's fueled is by movement. And so we've tended to quieten the prophet and say, anybody who's got an apostolic gifting, well, I'm not too sure how often I've heard it. I've even said it myself. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But that's what the apostle will do. The apostle Paul was consistently, not in the sense of just bulldozing over people, but he was giving clear direction. He was giving because he had the bigger picture. He had an idea of what God was doing. He didn't have the full picture, but he had a fair portion of it, and he was moving in it accordingly and encouraging people who are part of these communities to keep moving or to give correction because you need to be healthy in order to keep moving. And so that was that provocative, provoking, thought-provoking part of Ephesians 4. And then as if to sort of just change track again, there was this way in which Paul writes to all believers to allow this clearing to keep happening, this this moving out of stuff that doesn't need to be in our lives and allowing the Lord to install other things that are good for us to maintain health and well-being and momentum in our relationship with Him. So I actually spent 2 weeks there, and this was one of the punchlines in that first of those 2 weeks that spoke about the fact that a fair part of the space that needs to be cleared is actually our thinking, because it's so influential. How we think is so influential on our attitudes, on our decision-making processes, and even on our responses to certain things that are happening around us. Because it's in the mind that so much is stored. And when there are good things stored in the mind, good things can flow from the heart. And that was why I feel that the Apostle Paul spent so much time addressing these aspects of clearing space. Here's the one that challenged most people in our Tuesday conversation group: being imitators of God. That continues to be a stretchy bit. And in some ways, I'm starting to think maybe people have made too much of a catchphrase of, you know, this becoming increasingly Christ-like. And in some ways, I just feel like we've just taken the edge off of that. To say that, you know, I just get better and better at being church. Well, that's part of it. I get better and better at being a part of the body of Christ and ministering within the body of Christ. That's good. But if I'm going to be Christ-like, I'm going to be consistently in space that's not necessarily the boundaries are determined by my church community. Does that make sense? Sort of. You're still nodding. Most eyes are open, which is good. But this is the one that is really that pointed edge of our Christian faith. And I can honestly say, catch myself out any time during the week and say, how much is my life and my lifestyle and my life actions and my life priorities, how much are they looking more and more like Christ? Not that I'm looking better at church on Sunday. That's all very good. You know, so I got my red jacket back on, so I was feeling good this morning. Right, that's nothing to do with what's going on in the inside. Is it really obvious that my life content in every aspect is increasingly Christ-like? So I ask that question and genuinely saying, Lord, show me. And so that was the aspect as well. Then the Apostle Paul looks at a couple of areas that are very much, life's content in many ways. Marriage and then children. And they sort of flow on, connect, and this is very much, you know, the human relational dynamic. Margie and I got a special invitation last Sunday evening to go out to dinner, roast dinner, with some folk that are now living in Victor Harbour that we went through Bible college with up on the hill, Mount Bracken, 40 years ago, went through together. And, you know, you sit down, and what do you talk about? Well, we didn't talk about, you know, the Formula One race that was on the television. We didn't talk about that. We talked about, you know, the types of, some of the things that we did at college. You just got to enjoy those again. All the fun bits and, you know, stuff that, you know, very unChrist-like. But we're learning. And then you're looking, and we're looking around the table, and we're conscious of the relationships that we're in, the marriages that we're in, and one of them, she's been recently widowed, and another one, there's a space in the relationship that you'd love to see a lot closer. Now, we didn't talk about that, but it was interesting to move into that space, just gently, not barging on top, but it was the topic of conversation. And then, of course, you talk about your kids. You know, where they are, what they're doing, where they are, perhaps in their walk with the Lord. There was a topic relevant to that situation. Very much so. Because, yeah, many of us do have children and grandchildren. And we'd love to see them in a walk with the Lord. And I say to you, pray that they know the fire. Don't put boundaries on the fire. That they have to be in the structure that you're in or the format that you're in. Pray that they have the fire. And so that's, in many ways, the rare. Then we looked at that one, bond servants and the workplace. So I won't go into that one any further. And then we looked at the spiritual whips, the spiritual armor being prepared for this current context, this world in which we live, and discerning that which is of the spiritual, and how we can test that, how we defend our own stance with Jesus spiritually. And so, and I waved around this great big thick book that's a whole lot of ways in which we can start to work that out, because as much as we read the scriptures, we say, well, now how's that going to work out for me? And that's one area that, certainly I encourage further engaging. And that's one of the reasons why I now return to the passage that we looked at this morning. You'd wondering when I was ever going to get to the passage this morning, weren't you? Yes. And so I do it under this heading, that we are the New Testament church. So we're going to look, we've looked at this letter and drawn together a number of themes and component parts of this emerging church. And we make an observation, or I make an observation on your behalf. The passage we read this morning was very much about being conscious of the blessings that are ours in Christ. Now, I'm not too sure if you can remember the last week. What was it about? Spiritual conflict, spiritual contesting. I find it interesting that how Paul starts his letter and finishes his letter. They're connected. We come back to spiritual reality and the spiritual integrity, the intensity of the fire that is within us. Right? This one at the end here, we can contest, as it were, spiritually as we are resourced spiritually. And hence I come to this theme this morning. In those first few verses of his writing, that Paul expresses that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Is that right? Isn't that exciting? Yeah, I wonder what they are. Steps? Okay, I like that one. I like that one. See, I would have loved... You. Does that face look familiar up there for you, Helen? We know that hymn, don't we? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will amaze you what the Lord has done. Now, what do we know about those blessings? We think... I know I've heard of... quite a impressive theology based on this one. Basically means that soon I trade up from my Nissan Pulsar to a Mercedes-Benz. Thank you.
Taylor said, little old me, I'm special. I reckon that's a beautiful interpretation of being chosen. Hey, Jane, and you're all very special. All of you little old me's. And some, there are some younger little younger me's. So we work on that. And here's another blessing. That, well, I'll read it from there, that we should be holy and blameless before you. I don't know if you get the drift of that. But that's telling me the process is happening. What a blessing that is. To know that somebody is personally working on my life to shape it. I dare not say it. But I've been watching Escape, don't you? And last night, there was this making pottery out of a porcelain clay. It was amazing. And I take that as saying, well, Lord, thanks, because I put that image back in for Sunday morning, just confirming. No, that's an exciting, it's an exciting image. Of course, we had potter's clay last night as well, so there's a double shot. But the potter, and it was really interesting watching this fellow with his porcelain clay, he knew exactly what he was shaping. He had clearly what he wanted to do. Oh, no. And away he went. And the Lord says, hey, Peter, you know, little old you, I'm shaping your life so that it is holy and blameless. Now, to me, that is exciting because I don't get frustrated by my imitating God. Because he's actually shaping me so that I have the capacity. I don't run my little kneecaps off trying to be good. He's actually shaping my life so that I have the capacity. How are you going? We've nearly finished. And God's big plan. And that, here's the term. He predestined us. Now, I'm sure there's some scholars here. You will have great fun with that particular term. Enjoy your research. I've accepted the fact that God's got a good plan. A big plan. It's a perfect plan. It's a good plan. And guess what? I'm in it. That's all I need to know. I say, Lord, where's my bit in the plan? I can be a brick at the far end if you like, or I can be a piece of wood in the river. I don't mind. I'm just glad I'm in the picture. Maybe a little simplistic, but it allows me to avoid such complexity that I don't comprehend the love of God in Christ. Now, we've always got to finish with a guessing bit. What on earth is he on about there? Yeah, his master's voice, yes, that's right. His master's voice, see, I like that, Clive, I'm glad you picked that one up. His master's voice, the Lord's spoken many, many, many blessings into the lives of his people. Many, many, many of them are for us, for you, for me, for us. Keep speaking them in. And I put the 78 there because I did come across an article, a bit like Marlene. You know, you go on the net, you find some interesting things. This fellow found in the letter to the Ephesians 78 blessings. Enjoy. You see, we can skip over it. Oh, that's a sermon. Done Ephesians. Oh, that's a Bible study. Done Ephesians. Number 36, 37. Oh, that's good. I picked up another one that had 734. I didn't have time to do it. I've got other things in my world. But, oh yeah, that's right. is what it, I'll lend you the sheet later and you can look at it. I can't see it. I can't even find one to start. But the thing, I'm using this illustration, is that as we move on in these blessings, the dots connect. Yeah, so often I meet people, I want all the dots in place so I can see exactly what the picture is. I said, well, that takes faith out of it. But faith is not blank. Faith says, I see the dot. I see the blessing. I receive the blessing. I see the next dot. Then I step back. And the bass guitarist plays the song. Be still and see that God is. That's a slight variation on the words that are in the actual song. But it suits what I'm saying. Can you see that? So the venture is for you and I to pick up those blessings because they are the dots. They're the dots that make the picture that I begin to comprehend. And as more detail comes into the picture, I will actually see more and more clearly my place in the picture. And I will also see, possibly by the grace of God, I'll see the place for the person that's sitting next to me to be able to affirm them in their place in the picture. You understand what I'm saying? Ooh, I've got a third knot. Shall I keep going or just hold it there? So I finish. I believe that's the New Testament church. You know, in this dynamic that's uncontainable and yet accessible. Something that's got clarity, it's got mystery, it's got you and me in it. And we are that church, that emerging identity of Christ in 2018. Let's stand, we'll pray together. Yes, Father, we again just give you thanks for this place. Thank you for the purpose that you had in our gathering this morning. Thank you for that which you have in store, not just next Sunday, but in the moments that will follow our time of celebration here. Those things that you want to do in the conversations that we share and the way that your Spirit will continue to encourage and as it were, by our conversations, build each other up in faith. That, Father, that we might be your plan, your design, your purpose in this generation. And people will see the identity of Christ in us personally, but also in us as a community of faith. That they will perhaps get a glimpse of the bigger picture by seeing us gathered and working, as it were, under that gracious influence of your Spirit, that we would be the body of Christ in this city and beyond. Our place will be clear, and we would live it, Father, to your glory, by your every spiritual blessing that you would provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.